Welcome to Pest Control Millionaire, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of pest control and talk to industry experts who have turned their passion into profit. Join us as we interview successful entrepreneurs, share valuable insights, and provide you with the strategies, inspiration we need to build your very own multi-million dollar pest control empire. Well, welcome back, everyone. Today, we have a couple special guests, and I got my co-host Shane with me today. We're on episode number 73. That's another wildlife edition. It's going to be a fun one that I get to learn along the way. Today, we have Carla and Tracy Sullivan. They own a critter control franchise. And they're out of Hamilton, Indiana.
Yep, Hamilton County, Indiana.
Yeah, cool. Well, welcome to the show, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us today. I'm excited to learn from you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Shane told me all about you, so I'm excited to dive deep into what you guys do and see a lot of the strategies you guys are running. Why don't you just first tell us kind of how you got into the industry to begin with?
It depends on the day. It might be I was in the right place at the right time, or it could be I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I was an early 20-something working for a landscape company. I was a crew leader. I think it was the middle of August, and we had just left a big property, headed to the next one, and I looked down and noticed we were on fumes, and I had a bunch of guys in the truck with me. So if we ran out of gas, that wasn't going to be a good thing. So I whipped in a gas station that I had never been to before. I don't think I've ever been to again in my life. And we're filling up, and this very, very pregnant woman stops and asks if we can mow her lawn. And we did everything we could to tell her no, but she wasn't hearing it. So we ended up following her to her house, mowed her lawn. Then she persuaded us to take care of it for the rest of the year. She said, "My husband's too busy with work. I'm not doing it. So can you do it?" And so we figured, all right, let's do it. And at the end of the season, she came out and asked me what I was going to do, what I was going to do wintertime. And I told her probably go back to waiting tables at Olive Garden. I was still trying to figure out what I wanted to do when I grew up. And
I'm still trying to figure that out.
Yeah, I know, right? But she said her husband and herself were looking to hire another person. And she'd been kind of watching me work while we're taking care of their property. And she said, "Why don't you come over this weekend and we'll cook out and tell you about, you know, what we do." I went over there, and he had owned a critter control. I think he had one employee at the time.
He was one of the first critter control franchises.
He was one of the early ones.
Yeah, very early on.
But he actually went to high school with Kevin Clark, who started Critter Control. But anyway, so I go over there and they're telling me what they do for a living. And I'm like, people pay you for this? I mean, this is a thing? You're catching raccoons and possums? And they offered me a job. And I said, let me think about it. Let me go home, talk to Carla. And I went home and said, "You're never going to believe the job offer I got." So I ended up deciding, man, I'll give it a shot.
Nothing
to lose. First day, by noon, I already knew this is not for me. It was rainy. We were on roofs. He actually had to push me up onto a roof. We sat up there for an hour while he worked on some vents, and I was just like, there's no way. But then I thought, all right, I'll wait until Friday and at least collect a whole week's paycheck and tell him thanks, but no thanks. I think by Wednesday afternoon, I was hooked. And I ended up working for them for 17 years. And about 12 years ago, bought our own franchise.
Gotcha. So you guys were married at this time?
Not yet. No, we weren't married yet. We didn't get married for Probably two more years after that. I'm so old now that I don't remember the timelines, but it was a couple more years. We were living together at the time.
29's really old.
He was like, you know, I think I'm going to try this critter control thing. And I said, you know, go be the best critter controller that you can. I didn't even know what it was, but I was like, I strongly encourage you to do it. If you think it's great. I mean, the only thing we had to lose at that point in time was a free Olive Garden raspberry cheesecake every night that you worked during the winter, which was significant to me. But I said, you know, if this is something that you want to try, we're young. We've got all the time in the world. Go figure it out. See if you like it. You're not married to it. You can, you know, if you hate it, you hate it. But, you know, go out there and give it your best.
Yeah. So at the end of your 17 years, what made you say, hey, I want to go open my own? What was the catalyst for that? Have you been thinking about it for a while?
We had thought about it, but the offer presented itself. I could tell at that point the owners, they really wanted to start downsizing, and we approached Critter Control. And when I say Critter Control, the president, and tried to see if we could kind of split Indianapolis. And he said, no way. It'd be a nightmare. So they offered up a couple counties. Only one of them interested us. So we made that one work.
The best one.
Was that one open yet, or is that brand? They're brand new.
It was part of his franchise, so they just carved us off. So Indianapolis is like this. I think it's made up of
nine counties,
basically, and Hamilton's right up here at the top. And they ended up just selling us a part of their franchise.
They carved it out, and after some discussion, we were interested in another adjacent county, but they weren't willing to give that one up because it's pretty affluent as well. And
Zionsville.
Yeah, Zionsville, Boone County.
I remember that county.
yeah, it's a great place, and it's contiguous to our service territory now. But they were only willing to give up Hamilton County at the time, and we made it work.
Besides only owning one county in a critter control franchise, which is unheard of across the U.S., what was your biggest hurdle when you guys first started the business? What was your biggest hurdle to starting?
Probably trying to take on. You know, when you first become an owner, you don't want to pass up, or you start a company, you don't want to pass up any work at all. So taking on too much, even if I wasn't good at it, I wasn't going to let it slip. I was taking that job on, trying to please everyone. Some people you're just not going to please. Others, you know, probably, well, stealing her from her professional job.
Let's talk about that.
That was a big one right there. I waited way too long for that, because I can tell you things really changed when she came on full time. And I'll tell you, it was scary because it went from, you know, slow winters where I could rely on her because she had a professional career to help us, to going, you know, all of a sudden, okay, it's all on us now. It's all on Critters. So that was scary.
Can you tell me a little bit about how you decided to make that change? And I know that's a scary thing to do. So give me a little more info on that. How did Tracy ask you to do it, or did you ask him? And how did that transpire?
And what were you doing at the time?
I didn't ask him. I always supported him, but I didn't ask him. I was very content in my career, so much so that I still have kind of a foot in it a little bit. Although at my own discretion and choosing when I want to, you know. But the benefits and I guess the adrenaline that I have from that career that I had created for a very long time, you know, were very fulfilling to me. I have a tendency to be a bit of a workaholic, which is not necessarily a good trait, but it was feeding that need for me. And so I didn't see, although I was working in the business with Tracy all along while I was, you know, working my career, I just didn't see how it could possibly fulfill that need for me. Now, more than enough to feed that need, probably more than I want some days, but it depends on the day. He actually was a smart guy and had already, at this point, we had long since been married, and he had already learned, I am a Navy brat, so I come from a very, very strong military officer father, and Tracy had already learned that if you're going to do something, you got to go ask Dad. So when he wanted to marry me, when he wanted to ask me to marry him, he had to have those uncomfortable conversations. And he knew how passionate I was about my position and my relationship with my employer. And he went to her and asked her if he could steal me from my position. She knew, she had watched our journey, you know, and what we were doing, and was very supportive of that. And he said, I need her full time. And I don't know how I can continue to grow in the way that we want to grow, or how she's going to be able to support me in that, you know, long term, if I don't have her full time. So the two of them conspired against me a little bit.
Tracy, let me ask you, which was more difficult, asking her father if you could marry her, or asking her boss if you could have her?
You know, they were both difficult. boy, her dad's a big man.
My dad's a tall, tall guy.
You know what? But her boss had been so great to her and to us as a family. It was really hard to ask her and ask to say, hey, let me take one of your vital pieces from your organization away. But I'm glad she said yes.
And she's still very supportive of us, and she's actually a Critter Control customer.
That's awesome. So when you transitioned, Tracy, what was your first role in the company?
Oh, everything. Yeah, it was me, myself, and I. So I was answering phones. I was
everything but payroll. He did
collecting money. Well, the only payroll was me, and I was lucky to have a payroll
initially.
there were times there wasn't payroll. So, basically everything for at least what I think about a year. I brought someone on about a year in.
Yeah.
And then how many employees do you have when Carla comes in?
I want to say I had
two and a half.
No.
Yeah, we had Bubba and we had Jordan.
Okay, so one and a half. me, a full-timer and a part-timer.
Yeah.
At that time when Carla came on, I just got into doing a lot of rodent work in bait stations. So at that time, I think he was doing one day a week in his personal truck for me, running around.
And then attics.
And then helping me on any attic jobs that I landed.
So you mentioned rodent bait station programs. I think you guys do an incredible job at showing the customers in your area the value of those things. You guys have a ton of recurring revenue, and I think that's a huge key to any wildlife company's success. So what have you guys done to help push those through and sell through on the bait stations to bring what has brought some of that success for you guys?
I think just reinforcing, you know, your inspection obviously is your first opportunity to present that opportunity, you know, that option to homeowners. And there's so many people who do big box store solutions themselves, or they get themselves involved with some of the bigger brand names that have been around for, you know, decades and decades, longer than we have, but they're not getting the results, I think, that they're promised. without throwing anybody under the bus. I think a lot of times, you know, many companies will sign you up on a contract. They'll hit your credit card every month, every quarter, every whatever interval that they have established in their contracts. But then the homeowner never gets anything in return for that. You know, they may never see the technician. They just know that their card got charged on the 15th. Whereas we really put an emphasis on including the homeowner in what we're doing so that they can see, you know, we're letting them know what their consumption rates are each time we check those. So we do rodent baiting and monitoring instead of just refills. We want them to see that there's more value in that. We're letting you know seasonally or monthly or whatever service interval that, you know, we actually did something more than just throw some additional bait into your stations. You know, we're offering them opportunities as we see them. If our technician is there and he stumbles across a yellow jacket nest while he's going around the perimeter of the house, hey, did you know we do pest control too? It's not just the rodents, it's the pest control side of thing, and showing them the added value of the time, even though it doesn't take a ton of time for him to complete that service, that he's paying attention to their property and really has a vested interest in making their home lives better for them and protecting, you know, what they've worked so hard to maintain. So I think that has solidified a kind of our stronghold in our area, that they see that they get additional value from us. We'll point things out that they may not even be concerned about. You know, that they know when they see those fluctuations in the bait consumption, you know, it's because we paid attention. We didn't just show up and hit your card.
Add to that, educating my guys, just really, because I see so many companies out there who I don't know. I'm hoping they just weren't trained or they're ignorant. But it's so bad that it sounds like they're lying to the customer. I want to educate my guys to know what the heck they are talking about. If a homeowner has any type of question, they can answer it like that. And be truthful, be honest, explain it, why we're doing it, not just because we want another customer. And when it comes out like that, it is so routine to my guys now that they're basically, I mean, I'm shocked when they go to a house that has mice and those people are not a new customer.
Building the people around you is kind of an incredibly powerful thing. And I think a lot of our listeners will get a lot of value out of both that and what Carla was talking about. I think a lot of business owners in our industry miss the boat when it comes to the fact that we're not in the animal and or pest industry. We're in the customer service industry with an emphasis on pests and wildlife. So if you treat every customer as if you're there to serve them, the rest of it's easy. The rest of it's just learning the bugs, the animals, whatever it takes. But customer service is pretty powerful.
Yeah, I have a question. When did you guys add pest control?
Rodent control early on. We're really just now tapping into general pest control.
The potential of it, not the licensure.
No. I mean, we've been licensed to do that forever. But, you know, really starting to build pest control routes, that's what I'm focused on right now. I see the value in that. I mean, my goal is to, I want by the first of the month, all of our expenses to be covered before the phone even rings once. And that's what I'm shooting for. We're not far away from that. But I want that multiplied by, you know, several.
And I think one of the mistakes, you know, as business owners looking at it in hindsight, you know, it was a service that we provided, but we didn't really put much emphasis on that. And I think that we neglected to give it its due justice in terms of maybe some fear, maybe of the big companies, the big O, the big T, who had such a big presence and have still such a big presence around us, that it was like, you know, they're the experts in that. And we discounted the fact that we too can be the experts in that. And Tracy has always maintained his licensure, and but we just tapped into it just enough to scratch the surface. And oh, by the way, if somebody asks, yes, we can do that for you. Instead of us telling them, did you know that we can do that? And we've really, the last couple of years, really focused on making sure that they're aware of it. And it's our fault that they didn't know that. You know, we were going to, you know, repeat visits, you know, to customers that we have really great relationships with. And then we would see another service truck there performing a service that we provide. And we were like, wait a minute, shame on us. We didn't let them know. That's not their fault. But wouldn't you rather have one company providing all of your services for you, or as many of them as you can? And I think, you know, within the past couple of years, that's really helped us to kind of elevate our revenue, our service, our staff, you know, and our relationships with the homeowners that we've serviced for 12 years. So,
yeah. What was that mindset shift that you guys made to say, hey, we're going to dive deep into it? Like, what was the, what sparked that?
So, when I kind of started out, I went to a house, not when I started out. So this was after a while. So go to a house and, you know, you're one man in a truck with very limited supplies. You pull up, you service that house. Across the street is a lawn company with a truck, a trailer, four guys, mowers, blowers, trimmers, gas, everything. And I service this house faster. And not because we weren't doing anything right, but we did that house faster, I did, than this entire crew of guys. And I know what they're getting paid to mow that lawn. And a light bulb went off. Yeah. So a light bulb went off and I went, man, there's a lot of money in this. What? Why have I not tapped into this sooner? And that now it is, we have the wildlife part. Pretty much that's for the most part. I mean,
it's the given.
It's the constant. And it runs itself pretty well. So now we want to take that pest control, add that into it, and just go from there.
Well, and I think too, you know, we've been really fortunate that we've had a lot of people go before us, and we're not the first people to ever hear this or maybe even say this on any of your other interviews, but you know, the animal is what gets you there. The animal isn't what keeps you there. It's what you can do beyond that. And you know, we can all make millions of dollars removing animals and doing home exclusions, but once you do that, hopefully you've done a good job and they don't ever need to call you back. Mm-hmm. But with pests and rodents, they do need to call you back. They don't want that to recur. You know, if you do a solid exclusion, nothing mm-hmm. else is getting in that, right? You're standing behind that. You've made sure that you're not going to get a call back. But with pest and rodent, it just helps to foster that. And I think, you know, we were really fortunate to have started out the way that we did and have to learn some of those lessons the hard way ourselves mm-hmm. because we just value, you know, what the pest control side brings to the table, you know, long term.
Yeah, for sure. So in 2024, right now, as the podcast stands, what percentage of revenue is pest versus wildlife?
I would say we're probably at
30,
maybe 35, 40, 60. I mean, obviously it's been a whirlwind of a first quarter so far. So, haven't had time to drill down on those numbers, but I would say 35-40%. But there are, you know, a lot of other companies, that are smaller, or the same size as us are laying people off in the winter. And we're not doing that, because we don't have to. And as to Tracy's point, you know, before the phone rings the first time, we know that we have that revenue stream and we've got that portion of the business so well oiled that it kind of takes care of itself on autopilot for the most part. So it's really nice to have that that streamlined the way that we have. And to Tracy's credit, you know, when he initially, before we were owners, when he initially went to the previous owners and said, I want to do this, they told him he was nuts. They're like, what are you going to do with some bait boxes? And, you know, you only need your pest control applicator license so that we can buy the proper, you know, we can buy some dry on dust to treat carpenter bees occasionally. And, you know, that was the limit to the vision that they had for it. And Tracy said, then just let me do it. Let me take the risk and let me, you know, throw us out there and see if people bite. And people did. So.
No, I'd say, what do you want the revenue to be? Like, as far as split for percentages, like, do you want a 50-50, 70-30 other way?
80-20 would be great for me.
Right.
80% pest control, 20% wildlife would be amazing. And I don't know why it can't be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the wildlife is also, you know, it's, I don't even want to say necessary evil because it's not evil. You know, it is the mother of where we are. And so, you know, I have a special place in my heart. I love wildlife. I love animal husbandry. It's fascinating to me. And I think that that's part of how he was able to draw me into this and leave behind what I was doing before, which is completely unrelated. But, you know, I never want to lose sight of the value that the wildlife has. Again, the animal gets you to the house. The other stuff is what keeps you there. But, you know, obviously the older we get, the more advantages there are to increasing that percentage exponentially.
The tough question is always wildlife first or pest control first, right? Which one is better? Where do you start? If you had to recommend a new, exactly, right? If you had to recommend somebody listening, like, that hasn't even started their business, where should they go first? Or should they do it both? Should they start it with both?
Do both. There's no reason that you can't do both. I mean, certainly there are obstacles that individuals have that are specific to them. You know, you may have more of a draw. If you don't feel like I do, and you think that the, you know, wildlife component is something that you can be passionate about, then probably don't do it. You know, maybe pest control is a better direction for you to take. We're really fortunate in that we both like both of the things. And so they marry very well together. You know, I just don't see, depending on where you are in your career path, if you're brand new coming in, I say try everything. You know, even though it may have been one of the early mistakes that we made to not say no to certain things, we had to learn that for ourselves in order to be better at what we do.
In my humble opinion, that's the way of the future. I mean, I think in our space, in our industry, that our customers are going to continue to demand exactly what you were talking about before, which is, I don't want to have to call three different places to take care of my lawn, to take care of my bugs, to take care of my wildlife. So if you're not offering at least a wildlife and pest control service, someone else is going to, and they'll be a customer of that company instead.
What's the population of Hamilton County?
Just a little over 300,000.
So I want to touch on that right there. So I wrote down a question. I thought I wrote it really well. So I'm going to read it verbatim because I kind of like it. It says, you operate arguably the smallest franchise territory in critter control, yet you've managed to build it to larger than 75% of the other franchises and larger than most people would have thought possible in the same area. To me, this speaks to the quality of the business owners that you both are. So what do you believe separates a good business owner from a great business owner?
Well, I'm just going to say they thought we were stupid and told us we couldn't do it.
You strike me as a show me type of person. If you tell me, if I tell Tracy he can't do it, he's going to go out and show me he can.
Oh, he's doing it.
They basically, they said, you want to do what?
One county? You'll never make it.
And I went, all right, let me just try it, you know?
Yeah. I think, you know, in addition to that, obviously you have to have the drive to do it. You know, it is hard to have the kind of growth that we've had. One, geographically, our service territory is located, positioned very well, in terms of the surrounding counties. You know, I think a key to our success has been the emphasis that we have put on not just ourselves, but on our staff for maintaining reputation and character. You know, say what you'll do and do what you say. And if your customers can trust that you are always going to do that, then I think the benefits of that are overwhelming. And I think that that has really afforded us the success that we've had. You know, the majority of our referrals come from previous customers. The brand certainly holds very strong. It's been established in the area for a really long time. The fact that Tracy worked for the brand prior to being an owner certainly helped to evidence that reputation and character to our customer base. Tracy primarily serviced Hamilton County as a technician and an employee of the previous franchise. And so people knew him and they knew that he was going to show you that he was going to try everything that he could to solve the problem. You know, if he came across a challenge and he wasn't sure, he would let him know, but he would say, give me some time and let me figure it out. Of course, that was years ago when we didn't have all the amazing tools and resources and support and education that we have for the industry now. But I think that that has really been key to our success is proving that we are going to do what we say we're going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you guys do an incredible job of retaining your customers, and you have to in a county of 300,000 and you're only allowed to operate within that county. Retention, I'm sure it holds a high value to begin with. It's, in my opinion, it's more important than sales, in my opinion, so retention's huge. How do you guys do such a good job at retaining? And you may have already answered this. I can probably answer this question just by listening to you, but how have you managed to retain so many of your current customers?
You know, I think that starts in-house, and that starts with retaining your employees.
The right employees.
Correct. Made that mistake, had a couple very bad seeds that kept too long. But anyway, once you get those good employees, hold on to them, do whatever you can to keep them part of your company, train them as well as you can. And when customers see the same faces over and over and over, I have two guys that have been with me for over, I have three full-time employees and two of them been with us for over 11 years now, or about 11 years now. So when customers see those people over and over and over, they love that. When we get new customers from other companies, what we will hear a lot of times is, well, I just couldn't take the turnover. You know, every year there's a new employee and a new employee, and he didn't do it the way so-and-so used to do it. Customers like what they like. And when they get used to somebody, they want to see that person. So we try everything we can to retain the ones we have, but I mean, we're constantly looking for new, but at this point, you're going to have to be something special that's going to fit with the great group that we have.
Absolutely. A wise person once told me that I should refer to, or I should think of my employees as internal customers. I've got my external customers who I need to treat very well, and I need to do the same thing with my employees. I've taken that to heart. I know Jonas has too at his company. They're internal customers. We take care of our people, and if you take care of your people, they take care of your people. So.
Yeah, and we're not perfect either, right? Like we try our best, but we had a situation pop up today, and Jane was with me, and the customers are super important to us. We made a big mistake and started with, like I said, with the CSRs. The salesperson, and she was very unhappy. I went to the store. I bought a card. I bought a $25 gift card for Starbucks, and I hand dropped and delivered it to her house. That's just how we operate. But if you make a mistake, admit it and just rectify it. Make sure the customer is always happy.
as owners, mm-hmm. it's important that they see that we're willing to humble ourselves enough to admit when we've made a mistake, if we're asking them to do the same thing. So, you know, if we've fallen short on a promise or if we've directed them incorrectly, it's important that they know that, you know, we're sorry too. You know, we are learning every day.
We had a customer yesterday, wanted to cancel, and she just wanted us to come by her house and remove our equipment. And when my head tech went by there, to remove the equipment, he didn't just pull up, grab the equipment and go. He went to her door and they had probably a 15-minute conversation. And he tried everything he could to win her back, but said, "I totally understand. But I just wanted to come up here." And he did that on his own. We didn't even tell him to do that. And he did it on his own. And it won't shock me. She's probably going to get disappointed at some point with the next one. And we'll hear from her again somewhere down the road. But I mean, that's the little things like that.
Well, and she even mentioned to him after that interaction, she said, "You know, I really want to give you a lot of credit because most people wouldn't have come to the door to have that dialogue with me. They would have just accepted the defeat and walked away and not pursued that any further. But because we're very relational with, you know, folks, and we want to know why they're not happy. Why are they making a change? 9 times out of 10, it's because somebody on a hoverboard was going around the neighborhood that was cute and offered them a deep discount. And we don't do that. We just don't. We're not in the business of discounting our services. We know the value that it holds. And so, it's just not our MO. You know, I don't fault people for exploring that. You know, times are tough right now. People have been through a lot of things since 2020. And if they have to adjust their budgets accordingly, I can respect that. It doesn't mean that we have to adjust our expenses only went up. So why are we going to discount just to maintain your services? It's going to end up costing us money to come provide our services to you. And that doesn't do us or them or our staff, you know, any benefit. So
absolutely. Yeah, I'm a firm believer in that every complaint is an opportunity to make an impact. I forget where I saw it, but there was a study done, and I think it was with Carhartt, about customer satisfaction. And when something happened, somebody's coat ripped, whatever, they called in, they were unhappy, and they did a study. And basically what happened was that the customer was unhappy. They did a baseline study, and it was the customer satisfaction was at a certain level. Let's just call it a 2. And when their product wasn't living up to standards, that customer or that that satisfaction went down to a 1. And when they called in and they, you know, the company was apologetic and resolved the issue and or said, "Hey, we made a mistake, you know, let us fix it for you." And they did everything they could to fix it. Even if they didn't fix the problem itself, that customer satisfaction went up to a 5. So just the effort you can put forth, you might not even retain that customer. That customer, that Carhartt customer, might now become an Adidas customer, or whatever the case may be, but their customer satisfaction level is still at a 5 with Carhartt. So when their buddy asks them, "Hey, who should I, you know, what coat should I go buy?" And they say, "Listen, I don't use them anymore because I had a bad experience, but when I called them, they took care of me. I would still try and go this direction." I mean, that's the power of just putting a little bit of effort towards a customer that might not still be your customer is incredible. So I saw it in action today. It was pretty cool.
What is Wolf for on your shirt?
Yeah. Anyway,
she's much better with this.
This is another one of our babies in collaboration with some other industry professionals. So Wolf stands for the Wildlife Operators Living Fund. It is a not-for-profit organization that was created by wildlife professionals for wildlife professionals out of some experiences that occurred with some colleagues who unfortunately either lost their lives at much too young and much too quickly and left behind family members who were not in a position to move forward from those losses because they were either independent operators or uninsured and had some financial hardships. And we kind of collaborated with a brain trust of some really, really good friends and colleagues in the industry to create Wolf. We collect donations from anyone and who's willing to provide them to offset any unexpected medical expenses associated with someone in the industry. So if you've got an unexpected illness or injury that causes you financial hardship or may cause you to be out of work for a period of time, that we can help soften that blow from a little bit to get you back to work or to get, you know, your loved ones on their feet. We provide for that. And, you know, we wish we never had to do it, but because it hit so close to home for us, we decided that we needed to put something formal together as opposed to people just sending direct donations out of their own pocket and not collaborating as an industry. There's a lot of power in our industry. Many of us who have been doing this for a long time are super fortunate and have the means to be able to provide for others who aren't there yet, haven't had the opportunity to get there yet. And so this is our new...
It's our baby.
It's our new baby.
So can I ask you what happened to create this? I think it's super awesome because it's congratulations. We'll put the link for this in the podcast episode too.
So people can donate. That's awesome. Absolutely. If I get emotional.
That's okay.
I got emotional watching it, so I get it.
Yeah. Shane has heard us speak on this a couple of times and can, he knows. So we have in our community, the Indiana operators really are, we're friends and family. You know, we really don't see each other as competitors. We all try to lift each other up. You know, we have other operators that stop by our shop, you know, for a potty break or a cup of coffee if they're passing by, and we welcome that. And one of those operators who worked for another company, at the time, we developed a pretty close relationship with. He also, you know, brought us materials from Northern Indiana when we didn't want to pay shipping, and he happened to be coming our way. And so we really became very close with him. And at a super young age, he was in his early 40s. He was in October of 2022. He was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer that had metastasized throughout his body. And he was too busy to go to the doctor when he started having preliminary symptoms and, you know, was self-insured and, you know, just I'll do it later, like a lot of guys are, and gals too, I suppose, but mostly guys, you know, I'll do it later. And within 3 months, he had passed away and left behind three small children and a wife, a young wife who had given up her career as a registered nurse to stay home and homeschool those kids and, basically become homesteaders. And when Travis passed away, she said within the first week, I need to go back to work and I'm a nurse. I can get a job. It's not a problem. But I need to start tomorrow because they will hold my first paycheck for 30 days. And the reality and the impact of me, of that as a mother and a wife, just could not let that happen. That she wasn't going to have time to grieve with those children who she had, number one, been home with for 8 years, or 5 years or 3 years, depending on the age of the child. We said, absolutely not. That's not what you're going to do. Yes, you'll go back to work. And yes, time will help you to cope with this, but you're not going back to work. We're going to help provide for you in the meantime so that you don't have to do that, just so that you can get your pay clock ticking. And it grew from that. And one of the other, Indiana operators a couple months after that called us and said, you know, we talked about this and we all just kind of sent money to them. Don't you think this is the situation that we know about? Mm-hmm. what about all the other ones? What about the things that we see on the social media about, you know, this person fell off a ladder and that person, you know, has cancer or whatever the case may be. And we just started collaborating with one another. We had lots of phone calls, you know, in the off hours and what can we do? And thankfully he kind of put some feet behind it and made it run. And, you know, we worked with the federal government and the state governments to get our not-for-profit certification. And we launched last July 1st.
That's awesome. Congratulations. And it kind of like hits home for me too. It was like, you know, I'm early 40s. I got three kids at home and the wife's a nurse. So.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy.
36, three kids, wife at home is a stay-at-home mom, but is also a nurse.
You guys are out doing dangerous things. You know, nothing that we do is safe. And we're all guilty, I think, of, I'll get to that later. You know, is this something or am I just tired?
Absolutely. I appreciate that you guys, what you guys do. And a shout out to Tony Siri is the, I think he's the president of Wolf.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I don't know everybody's name. That's a part of it, but I appreciate everybody that's a part of it. So
yeah, it's a pretty passionate group, and you know, we're super fortunate to have the friendships and really families that we do now. I mean, we are all family members at this point, and you know, we're all humans. We're not just business owners and pest control operators, and you know, brand A versus brand B, although brand C. It's the greatest one, but
what does the next 5 years look like for you guys?
A little different depending on which one of you ask on what.
All right, let's ask both of you.
If it's up to her, she's gonna call me the man of leisure. Far from it.
You have many duties.
Continue to grow our pest control. That's my number one focus. I see how rodent control, pest control can take so much stress out of the day-to-day operations. It's to have that recurring revenue just coming in and, you know, coming from a wildlife background, you're constantly trying to drum up work. You're constantly waiting for that phone to ring. And I don't know why we didn't jump into this so much sooner, because the pest industry is completely different. Once you get that work, that work's constantly there. You just take care of those customers, and those customers aren't going anywhere for the most part. And it's such a contrast to wildlife. But to see just the financial stresses, be so much less as the recurring revenue and recurring jobs grow. So that's my focus. Next 5 years, I don't know why we can't. She's going to love this. I mean, we triple what we're doing right now.
Oh, I'm all about that. I'm wholly supportive of that.
And it sounds crazy because we can't just keep advertising more and more and going further and further and further out. We have to do it
right here.
Right here. I mean, there's a force field around us where we can't go any further and find customers. So we have to take care of the ones that we have, make them cheerleaders, and just, you know, continue to grow from this spot right here. But there's no reason why we can't do much more.
Love it. Carla, what's 5 years like look like?
It looks like a Highland mini cow and a bunch of chickens is what it looks like.
If you give the next 5 years to Tracy to have him triple your pest control side, at the end of the day, the business will be worth more. You could be sitting on that island.
That's her goal.
I have 100% faith in him. You know, Tracy and I, from a very, very, very young age, we were fortunate that we came from families that fostered a very strong work ethic in both of us. We have never, ever not worked. And at many times in our young age, we worked multiple jobs. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I still keep a foot in the door, you know, where I was previously. So, the older I get, the more tired I am. We've raised our children. We're really fortunate that we survived the hardest part of the parenting years. And I feel like, at some point on the horizon, hopefully, you know, as close to that 5-year mark as we can get, that we get to reap the rewards of the hard work that we put in. That's not to say that we don't, you know, have a better work-life balance than we used to, but you know, I want to do all the things that we worked so hard years ago to dream about. We don't have to dream about them anymore. We're capable of doing those things, and I think we deserve it. And so I'd like to see him be able to relax into that in the coming years.
Isn't it wild that as business owners, it almost feels selfish to take like time away and to think about an exit at some point? And it's a conversation that gets overlooked a lot in business, is that you should always be planning for an exit at some point, even if it feels selfish. But that's kind of what we're all here to do.
Right.
It kind of, you know, I don't know if it's where we are in life now, or maybe it's because we have so much of our energy focused on the work of Wolf as well, or because of friendships and family members. You know, don't you think Travis wanted to be able to enjoy those things that he was working so hard for with his wife, mm-hmm. and he didn't have the opportunity to do that? That can happen to any of us at any point in time. And I don't want to say we'll do that later and never have done it.
Mm-hmm. I'm the same way. And I Jonas's business partner, James, would be the first one to tell you that I might enjoy it too much. I'm always traveling. I'm always somewhere.
Yeah. And one of them, my mentor always told me, cause I struggled in the same spot where Shane's kind of struggling, was, I felt guilty for not going to the office. Like I was so used to being 100 miles an hour all the time. And I felt guilty not going to the office today. He's like, Jonas, that's when you know you built it the right way. That's what it's supposed to be like. I was like,
When I think one of the hardest things for me here in the recent, it was last year in August. I went on a trip with my daughter and her friend and my best friend, just a girl's trip. The two, my daughter and my best friend, have birthdays that are a day apart. And we went on a girl's trip. And that was the first time I had ever been away that I actually turned everything off. Mm-hmm. Tracy and I have taken many vacations, but we've worked during those vacations. I'm, you know, checking in, I'm doing voicemails, I'm, you know, processing something or another somewhere in there. And we just never really allowed ourselves to wholly disconnect. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do, you know, your business is your baby. But once I saw that I could do that, and trust that things were going to be okay. Like I can trust my child in the hands of someone else that I trained to take care of it. Right. Giving myself permission to do that. Now it's just convincing himself to give himself that permission to do it.
I'm working on
more
it.
Often.
I love it. I have one last question for you, cause we're going to wrap up. It's already been an hour. It goes by fast. And I'll ask you, you guys can answer you separately. What are you guys most proud of?
I'm proud of Tracy. I mean, what a leap of faith to have no idea what you were walking into and go, yeah, I think I'm going to go be the best critter guy ever. And he's done that. I don't think he gives himself enough credit, you know, for evolving from the landscaper / Olive Garden worker to one of the most successful people, certainly within the critter control system, but very well respected in our industry. I'm super proud of that. I'm super proud to have been able to help him get there.
I love that. How long you guys been together?
We've been together for 31 years, and we've been married for 27 of those, 26 of those.
Yes.
A long time.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tracy, what about you?
The same. very proud of Carla for jumping into this and not looking back. But I think what I'm most proud of is that we never gave up.
Yeah.
There were times that we could have given up and probably wanted to give up, and we didn't. It would have been very easy to. I mean, what is the statistic about small businesses? 90% fail in the first 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, we had those times, and just sticking through it and just keeping your head down, grinding, getting through those hard times, those long nights, long days, long nights, and to finally come out on the other side. So for me, I'd say not giving up during the hard times.
I think we'd be remiss too if we didn't, you know, express how appreciative and how proud we are of our team, because we couldn't do any of these things without them. Mm-hmm. And as Tracy mentioned, you know, we've got some tenured staff that has stuck through some really hard times while we figured it out. And they tolerated all of that, and they've tolerated us. Certainly more, you know, not a bouquet of roses, to deal with. But, you know, I'm super proud of them. You know, they have adapted with every change that we've made, you know, whether it's location or process or protocols or expectations, COVID, my gosh, you know, what they had to go through for that. You know, everybody else is like, oh, we get to work from home. We work at your home where you're working at home. And that created a whole new set of challenges. So, you know, I'm super proud of the team that we have.
Definitely.
You know, I think that we've got a great group of guys. If we could replicate some of them, I'd do it in a minute. I'm all for cloning in that case. But yeah.
Well, listen, I appreciate you guys. I don't know what it means to you, if anything, but I'm proud of what you guys have accomplished. It gives me, as a franchisee of Critter Control, some, I guess, something to shoot for, right? I mean, we're pretty close in revenue, and you guys are killing it in such a smaller territory. It proves to me that I'm not doing enough yet, right? So as you guys continue to grow, it's only going to push me.
You're doing great things. I know you don't like to hear it all the time, but you're heading in the right direction for sure. And then some, Shane.
No, well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you guys' friendship, and I appreciate that you guys took some time to come on here today and talk about your journey and Wolf.
We appreciate it.
Thanks for being here. It was awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right.
See ya.
All right. Take it easy.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to another episode of Pest Control Millionaire. We don't charge any money for the show, but obviously the show is not free. You can pay for the podcast by sharing it with your friends, share it with your family and your coworkers, like and subscribe, and give us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app. These things just make a huge difference for us. If you have any specific questions you want answered about business or life by me or any of my guests, send it to info@pestcontrolmillionaire.com, and you can get in touch about personal business coaching at pestcontrolmillionaire.com as well. And if you guys would like to join our Facebook page and get in there, we have a lot of entrepreneurs in there that like to talk shop. So see you guys in there. And again, thanks for listening to the show.